Thank you, Fark family, for sharing with us beautiful hymn. Lord, we want to know you. I want to know him. I found out that without him, I can do nothing. Amen? But with his help, all things are possible. All things. And I don't know how 2018 looks for you, but by God's grace, we will make it through another year. Amen? By God's grace, we will see him working through each one of us. By God's grace, we will see the talents that God has put in each one of us. And praise God for the gift of music. Amen? It reaches the heart. It tells us about God and his amazing love for each one of us. And God does reveal himself in a special way through nature. Amen? We look outside and we see the blue skies, we see the sun, we see the birds and hear them sing. And we say, there is a God. God reveals himself through his word in a very clear way and lets us know how much he loves each one of us. I'm glad to see a good friend of mine here today with his family. Rene, welcome. Came from Mexico City, I believe, or maybe it's somewhere else. But praise God that he gives us the opportunity to come together. Amen? But he demonstrates his amazing love like no one else has through the gift of his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus came to this world to show us the way. Amen? There is no reason why anyone should be lost. He's clearly told us, this is the way, follow in it. If you do these things, you will be blessed. If you don't, you're only hurting yourself. It seems like a pretty simple decision, right? But for most of us, it's one of the most difficult decisions to make every day, to put our trust in Jesus, to follow his example, to let his spirit come into our lives. Is that your desire for 2018? That's my desire for 2018. I want to walk closer to Jesus. I want you to see him. Amen? And I want to see him in you. That's the opportunity that we have for this year, 2018. Today we have communion. It's a high Sabbath. We are reminded of what Jesus Christ came to do. And the Gospel of John, it presents an episode that only appears in the Gospel of John. An episode that happened to Jesus. And I'll ask this question. How many of you have ever heard the words, "What are you doing?" In that way. What in the world are you doing? You're not supposed to be doing this. And I think most of us have heard it, yes? And we kind of like go back and think, well, I think I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, but I guess not. Imagine these were one of the last words that Jesus would hear from his disciples. I can't imagine what that must have felt like. And if somebody knew what he was doing, that was Jesus, yes? Jesus knew what he was doing. He had told his disciples that he wanted to celebrate Passover with them. And they had just gotten this place. And Jesus had told them how to find the place, how to prepare the meal. Something was missing. But they were all too busy just talking about what had happened that week. You see, Jesus had come to Jerusalem and with his disciples, and everyone in town knew that Jesus was there. Jesus, Son of David, Hosanna. And they were all cheerful and happy to see him there. The disciples were excited. They were thinking, what is going to happen after Passover? I know what's going to happen. Jesus is going to establish his kingdom here on earth. We'll be kind of like important people now. They were so happy. But Jesus wasn't thinking about this. He wasn't thinking about establishing his kingdom right then at that moment. But yes, he was thinking about his disciples. And they could tell something was bothering Jesus. They would look at him and go, well, why isn't he so excited like we are? So happy. And I can imagine them setting up the table and everybody picking their place and trying to be as close as possible to Jesus because they just wanted to hear the words like, you'll be the next Secretary of State. Oh, thank you, Jesus. But nothing like that came out of Jesus' voice. In fact, John tells us in John chapter 13, verse 3, something very powerful. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands. How many things? All things into his hands. And that he had come from God. Did Jesus know who he was? He knew who he was. He had come from God and was now going to God. There was no doubt that Jesus knew who he was. The King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the Messiah. He knew why he had come to earth. John tells us that at that moment, he rose from supper and he took off his garment and he grabbed a towel, girded himself. He grabbed a basin and filled it up with water. And what did Jesus start to do, brothers and sisters? He started to wash his disciples' feet. Now, this is a story we've all heard, right? We've heard this story. Jesus washing the feet of his disciples. I can imagine just them being shocked. Some of them just dumbfounded. They wouldn't say a word. But then there were others like Peter, right? They can't hold it. They can't. They have to share. And probably first with their faces. Expression of disappointment, sadness. What are you doing? Wait a second. You're going to be the next prime minister. You're going to be the next king. You're going to be the, you can fill in the blank. Jesus, this is not what you're supposed to do. And when Jesus came to Peter, Jesus said to Peter, what I am doing now, you do not understand. But you will after these things. What I'm doing now, disciples, you don't comprehend why I am doing this. But soon you will understand. And Peter, still not buying what Jesus was saying, said, no, Jesus. And I can see him standing back, standing on his feet, like saying, you're not touching my feet. Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. Now, if somebody wanted to have part in Jesus' kingdom, that was Peter, yes? What would be his role? He would probably be chief of staff, yes? He gets to give the orders. Or maybe someone in the military. But at that moment, Peter thought, wait a second. You mean I won't have a part in your kingdom? Let's change this around. Not just my feet, but my hands, my head. Wash me entirely, Jesus. I can see the other disciples saying, wow, I wish I'm so glad I didn't say anything here. I am going to have a part. Poor Peter. But Jesus told Peter, it's only necessary for your feet to be washed. You've been bathed. But I only want to take care of your feet. I can see Peter just timidly, maybe sitting down again and putting out his foot. And Jesus washing it carefully, tenderly, drying it. Then the other one, the same thing. And not understanding why their master, why their teacher would humble himself and become a servant. Why? Doesn't make sense. Nobody does this. Why would anyone take the role of a servant? If we go back to verse 12. John tells us, so when he had washed their feet, taken his garment, so he put it back on, and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? Do you now understand what I have done to you? They're probably all silent, just waiting to hear, what is he going to tell us? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If then I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Wow. What do you mean, Jesus? Is it easy for us human beings to put others first, brothers and sisters? Is it easy to put others above ourselves? Is that easy at home? Is that easy at school? Is that easy at church? It's hard for us human beings to put others first. When I wake up, I think about Samuel. Hi, Samuel. What do you want to do today? How do you want to enjoy life today? And I've got all these plans for me. But God has other plans, amen? He has a plan of how I, Samuel, can serve Carolina, amen? How I, Samuel, can serve this beautiful church family, amen? How sometimes Samuel needs to serve his neighbor. Amen? Those are God's plans. And I wrestle with them. Really, God, do I really have to? The dishes are there. I'll just kind of look this other way. And they're still there. And he keeps reminding me, hey, this is something you could do. Jesus was inviting his disciples to serve, to put others before ourselves, not to think ourselves too important, too big, too great, that we can't serve others. In fact, verse 15 tells us, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master. We all know that. Nor is he who is sent greater than he who sends him. Basically, Jesus was saying, I am your teacher. I am the one who sends you out. But I am also the one who serves you, who loves you, who cares about you. And I want you to never forget this evening. I don't think the disciples forgot that evening, do you? It must have just impacted them like nothing else. They were shocked. They were like, what in the world is happening? This is the next mayor, king, and he's washing my feet. And now he invites us all to wash each other's feet, to serve each other like never before. It would be Jesus' last meal, a meal that they would all remember, because he would share with them his plan. He would talk to them about his kingdom. He would tell them that they would all be able to participate as they accepted his sacrifice on their behalf. It was a night that they would never forget. In fact, all the Gospels, they write about this night when Jesus washed their feet and where he shared with them their first communion. Verse 17 finishes off by saying, if you know these things. What does it say? If you know these things. Is knowledge important? Knowledge is important, but it's not enough. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. It's not enough to preach it from this pulpit, brothers and sisters. It's not enough to teach it. We need to what? Live it. Put it into practice. That's how the blessings come. Sounds so much like Moses when he was about to go up to Mount Horeb and he was going to die there. If you open your Bibles really quickly to Deuteronomy chapter 30, we'll look at Deuteronomy chapter 30 very quickly. And we're going to read verse 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. God is talking to his people about the blessings he wants to bestow upon them. And Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 2 tells us, and you return to the Lord your God and obey his voice according to all that I command you today, you and your children with all your heart and with all your soul, that the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity, and he will have what? Compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. If any of you are driven out to the farthest parts under heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will bring you. Then the Lord your God will bring you to the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. He will prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers. If you do these things, I will bless you. Verse 16, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. Verse 19, I call heaven and earth as witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. And we'll go to the last one, chapter 32, verses 45, 46, and 47. Chapter 32, verse 45, 46, and 47. And Moses finished speaking all these words to all Israel. And he said to them, set your heart on all the words which I testify among you today, which you shall command your children to be careful to observe, and all the words of this law. For it is not a futile thing for you, because it is your life. And by this word you shall prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to possess. Did God want to bestow upon his people blessings? He wanted to bless them. But there was a condition, and that condition was to trust God, to know him, but also to do the things that he calls us all to do. Amen? Those were the last words that Jesus shared with his disciples. You know these things, and blessed are you if you put them into practice. I don't know what 2018 will bring. I'm not sure what God will call me to do, and I don't know what he will call you to do. But do you want to do what God is calling you to do, brothers and sisters? I want to do what God is calling me to do. I know that what he wants for me and for you is blessings, amen? He wants to give us life. And praise God that we have found life in Jesus Christ. Yes? We have found it. Will we share it? Will we tell others about it? Will we? Is time short? Time is short. And I don't know about you, but my heart needs transformation. Amen? It needs renewal. Amen? And God is willing to help us. He doesn't just say, Samuel, do this. But God also says, Samuel, I'm standing beside you. Yes? Be strong, Samuel. Be courageous. I'm standing with you. I will not abandon you. I will not forsake you. Yes? This is not a sprint, brothers and sisters. This is a marathon. Amen? What is ahead of us is a long race. But praise God that Jesus says, I'm willing to run with you. And then the whole way I'm going to encourage you so that all of us can make it to the end. Is that good news? That is great news. This isn't it. This world is not it. There's something better. And you and I are invited to be part of it. Just like Jesus invited his disciples. He invites us today to serve one another, to love one another. And before we have our communion, before we partake of the bread and the grape juice, we also want to participate in washing each other's feet. Amen? This is a practice that I believe is pretty unique for the Adventist church, yes? You can go to different denominations, they all do communion. But John chapter 13 is one that not everyone puts into practice. But we want to follow the example of Jesus, yes? And it's not just in doing it here once a quarter as a church family. But by God's grace, we can do this every day at home, every day at school, every day here at church, whenever we meet each other. The invitation is to serve one another, to put others before ourselves. Yes? And I know that by God's grace, you and I will be blessed. Because if there's something that makes us human beings happy, it's the ability, the opportunity to serve others. Yes? That's what makes us happy. I'll have a word of prayer, and then I'm going to invite those who would like to participate in foot washing to join me in the fellowship hall. And there we will then participate and then come back into the sanctuary and have the emblems of the bread and the grape juice. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the example that Jesus Christ set for each one of us. 2018 is here. This is the first Sabbath. And Father, we recognize our need of you. We recognize that without you, we can do nothing. But with your help, we can love one another. With your help, we can love you. With your help, Father, we can do the things that at first seemed impossible for us to do. And Father, today I pray in a special way that you will pour out your Spirit upon us. May this not be just another communion that we participate in. May this be one where we recommit our life to you and ask you, what is it that you want us to do? So we thank you for hearing our prayers. We ask your blessing upon each person here. And those who are not able to come, also, Father, we ask your blessing to be with them where they are. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.